Hello and welcome back to another episode of Watching Friends. This is season 4, episode 17, the one with the free porn. Hi, I'm Mark. Whoa, is this porn?
Hi, I'm Ryan. You're blocking the porn! Look out!
Yeah, but get out of the way. Stop blocking the TV.
Yeah, who does very that? Well, how much you said porn already.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be saying that word an awful lot in this episode for some reason.
It's a good thing that like podcasts don't seem to have any very good, like, you know, not safe for work filters, because everyone like YouTube, they're always like, oh, they've been watching prawn, and then you mispronounce the word to get around the filters.
And SFW, you know, Friends actually covers this pretty well, as we're going to get into in the episode. You know, they somehow managed to have porn on TV in a primetime show somehow.
Yeah. But I guess depending on where you are in the world, you can porn's on all sorts of times, but...
Yeah. Oh, you would know, Ryan, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't know. I hear porn's on Japan. Porn is on in Japan all the time, but they pixelate all their porn, don't they? So,
so disappointed, aren't you?
Yeah, but you know, if I want to watch it, I want to see it. You know what I mean?
Well, before
we get lost in that rabbit hole,
yeah,
there's no hole stands wrong.
Yeah, before we go any further, there's a few things for us to cover. First off is an apology for our lack of content over the past couple of weeks. Basically, a storm has happened with, you know, both of us, I guess, in some way. Like for me, I'm going through a difficult family-related issue. That's very reminiscent of a lot of Ross and Rachel stuff that happens in Friends. So you know, I've got some good guides going on, and you know, in 6 years' time, bam, I'll have her, sort of thing. You know, but yeah, so I'm having like a difficult time, and you know, trying to fix this issue is taking up a lot of my time. And you, Ryan, have been away, and you've had your own little family issues and all sorts.
I have. I mean, yeah. So my nan fell over and fractured her ankle, so currently I'm having to look after her quite a lot, and you know, she's just shouts at me and tells me to make her tea, and then he's really stubborn because she's an 84-year-old Welsh lady who doesn't like being told what to do. So you kind of close your eyes for half a second, and suddenly she's trying to run around the house to dust or something. So yeah. Pretty much like, it's like having an infant in the house. You'd be constant supervision.
But just large.
Yeah.
So for both of us, our schedules have become a little preoccupied, a little busy with our families and lives. So apologies. It's going to be like this for the next few weeks. We're definitely going to keep making content. It just might be, you know, once every 2 weeks or once every 3 weeks at worst. But we're still going to be here, still going to carry on, and hopefully things will get better for both of us as time moves on.
Yeah, it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, part of why I was away as well was for a wedding. And it's a shame that it's not a wedding in this episode for me to have a more relevant tangent, but I mean, the age we are now, we get invited to a lot of weddings, I guess, because, you know, people want to be married for some reason.
Yes.
I mean, neither you or I have ever really wanted to be married.
I wonder if Friends is a part of that, to be honest. You know, you look at Ross and all his marriages and you're just like, why would you do that? Like, nothing good has come from any of that. So maybe that's part of it.
Ross. Yeah. It's just like, three divorces. Just like, no.
Definitely. As soon as you're like, do you want to get married? Three divorces. I think that's where it's going to go.
But I went to a wedding in Utrecht it was near Utrecht, it was actually in Montfort in Amsterdam. Well, not in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, rather. And quite frankly, yeah, it was the best wedding ever.
You nearly upset all our Netherlands listeners there by saying Amsterdam.
I think so. I always land the ship out, I always go to Amsterdam, so my brain just, by default, calls Holland and the Netherlands Amsterdam for some stupid reason, okay. Even though I go there all the time and know the place quite well now, but yeah. Anyway, it was the best wedding ever. Open bar, win, steak for the meal, and the table I was put on. So my partner was the bridesmaid, and when we got there, I arrived late because of the stupid Uber. But I paid extra for a faster Uber, and it still took forever. I wasn't late for the ceremony, I was just behind schedule, I sense. But there was nowhere for me to sit, so I ended up sitting in the second row next to the groom's stepmom, mom, and dad. And I was meeting some of my partner's friends that had never met me before, and they were playing a game where it's like, oh, guess who my partner's, you know, guess who I am, essentially. And I walked in my like pink tweed suit, and one of them, Lani, was like, I bet that's her partner. But then when I sat in the family row, they were like, oh no, it can't be him, he's sat in the family row. But that was the only space I had left. But I got chatting to the stepmom, And later on in the evening, she found my partner, who was a bridesmaid, you know, was in the ceremony, and went, "Ah, you must be Ryan's partner." And she was furious. She was like, "What? I've been downgraded from bridesmaid to your partner." And I'm like, "Well, you know, I got Irish blood in me too, so it makes sense." But anyway, the group of people I was sat on the table with were like the coolest group of people ever. And it was I've never had been to a wedding where the entire table is immediately clicked. I mean, in about 5 minutes, everyone had made a "that's what she said" joke. And yeah, a catchphrase now, I guess, is "table six for life." But yeah, so two of our friends are getting married soon-ish, aren't they, Mark? And I've let them know, I've put them on notice that they've got one hell of an occasion to beat. So
yep, and definitely needs to say the wrong name at the wedding.
If I ever got married, I'd be super tempted to say, "I take thee, Rachel." Even if you were the only person in the room that got it.
Yes, yeah. All you hear is a like loud, "Yes!" And everyone else would just be in dead silence going, "Oh my God, what's he done?"
Yeah, I'd be like, you and my sister would probably be the only two people that were like, "Yes." I imagine my sister would jump up and just be like, "Unagi," and yeah, make some kind of friend reference as well. But yeah.
Well, talking about friends, we should get on to our patrons and thank them, Ryan.
We should. They're our bestest friends. So we'd like to thank Ivo, Beth, Jamie, Jonathan, Paul and Deborah for supporting us. It genuinely helps. We say this every episode and we can never kind of overstate the gratitude we feel for you guys helping us out in this way. Obviously, life does get hectic sometimes, but without you guys, this podcast might not be here at all. There are fees involved, obviously. There's equipment we need to buy. There's website hosting we need to do. And you guys help us with that. And it's always appreciated.
So, yeah, thank you for kicking us, you know, a couple of quid here. Yeah, it really helps to support us and, you know, keep us going. So thank you very much for your support. And right. They're not our best friends, Ryan. They're our best buds.
Best buds, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, hopefully you guys are enjoying the exclusive content over on Patreon. I finally got my hands on a physical copy of Matthew Perry's biography. I say a copy, it's Mark's copy. Yes. Because I was trying to listen to the audiobook and I just couldn't.
My copy's rare, you know, because it mentions Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll put it on eBay and see if that can get us another year of hosting.
Yes. But yeah, so yeah, you were telling before how the audiobook was just so depressing in his voice, and the book is a difficult read at times.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with audiobooks anyway, as you always tease me for not knowing what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But it was actually, like, because it's his voice and it's kind of, I guess, so much more personal to hear him tell the stories, that it was literally just tanking my mental health all my day. Like, I would try and put it on my commute and I would either get to work miserable or get home from work miserable, and I was like, this is killing my day. Whereas at least if I read it in my own voice, I feel like that will have less of an impact on my day.
So hopefully you're going to finish it soon and we can finally, probably a whole year too late, do an episode talking about the book.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably divide it into a few episodes, to be fair. I imagine there's going to be a lot to dive into.
Well, talking about the written word, we've also got a letter from one of our listeners as well.
Yeah, we do. Anne's kindly got in touch and said, "My fave friend stuff is now your podcast. Started listening to it and I'm still on season one and I love your look at it. Sometimes I just talk back when I listen to it. Hopefully my English is okay. It's not my everyday language." I love the idea that Anne's talks to us when they're listening.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what they say. I would be cool to get more context, but yeah, I just like the difference. They were like, "That's a stupid idea, Ryan," or you're like, "Spot on, Mark," or whatever. You know, that's really cool.
There's definitely been podcasts I've listened to where they're talking about a subject matter, and I'm like, "No, you don't know anything. Like, shut up. Why are you on the podcast? I should be there." And I think a few of our listeners probably quite relate to that when it comes to our friends talk.
Yeah, kind of, especially when we cross the pond and we just don't understand some of the Americanisms that are going on. And they're just like, "Dirty idiots." Yeah. Like, they don't even know what this means. But, you know, we are British.
Well, that's our housekeeping out of the way. So it's time to get straight into the one with the free porn. Are you excited, Ryan?
It's a goodie. But I was going to make a terrible pun about being stiff with anticipation, but it's going to be... It's just not good. Keep it clean.
Yes, that was a flaccid joke, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was. See, that was better.
Well, you know, Ryan, I think with this episode title, our SEO is going to go through the roof. We're going to get so many people visiting the site, downloading the podcast, and then leaving quite disappointed at the lack of free porn.
I mean, we could sound sexy. You don't know.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, if you're using us for that, please do not write in. I don't need to know.
Could point like a sexy voice and be like, yeah, undo those buttons. And, you know, and then...
Oh, that's another Patreon tier right there.
Yeah.
So add to the other like 70,000 that we've decided that you should do.
Yeah.
Well, we start at the boys' new apartment, and Trigger is snaking the shower drain and finding some pretty terrible stuff down there. The boys then begin watching TV, and porn comes on, and we even, Ryan, even get to see a little of it as a woman is kissing a man's chest.
Spicy.
Yeah. That's about as spicy as it is ever on British TV, really. I remember like we had like Channel 5 came here in the late 90s, and that was considered the like sort of weird channel, like Channel 5. We had four channels before, but there's a fifth one now. And they would play like the erotic movies, and
yeah.
They were.
It was really softcore stuff. It was just like there just happened to be an elongated sex scene in it, and it wasn't graphic in the slightest.
No.
But I can remember like being a teenager and like friends calling me, being like, "Ryan, are you watching the porn?" I'd just be like, "She's not fit." And like when we, yeah. And then we just end up watching erotica while chatting on the phone. It was so weird.
But, yes, that is weird. So what? Well, I don't know. I guess the boys are doing it right now, so maybe it's not as weird as I think it is. But maybe we should get into our first clip and find out.
Whoa! Is this porn? What did I do? I must have hit something on the remote.
Do we pay for this?
No, we didn't even pay our cable bill. Maybe this is how they punish us.
Maybe we shouldn't pay our phone bill. Free phone sex.
Maybe we shouldn't pay our gas bill.
Whoa, hey, that lady's all kinds of naked.
Yeah, Joey just pressed something on the remote and it just came on.
Hey, it happened to me once. I was just flipping through the channels and bam, it was like finding money.
Like finding money with naked people on it.
Then I made the mistake of turning off the TV. I never got it back again. And I'm sad.
For me, Friends is always at its funniest and draws me into an episode instantly when the chat is just like, the jokes don't feel forced or they don't feel like they're out for a laugh. It's just people chatting. Because I can imagine this conversation happening. And you know, I love the bit where Joey is like, is this how they punish us? And then Chandler's like, you know, oh, you know, if we don't pay our phone bill, free phone sex. And Joey's like, well, what if we don't pay the gas bill? Oh,
yeah, do you want like gas sex?
Yeah. Like stuff like that is really funny because it just feels so natural. And I love that clip in particular is just like brilliant to me because it is just so natural and every moment is funny. And even Trigger being like, you know, it's like finding free money. But then I turned it off one day and it was gone.
Well, I just love the way Trigger just says, well, that lady's all kind of naked. And as if there's more than one variety of naked. But it just, yeah, everything about that is so naturalistic and well done.
So Trigger comes out of the bathroom and is enjoying the porn too. You know, as I said before, apparently he got porn on his TV in the past too, and then he turned it off and it was gone. And I think we learned by the end of this that you can have too much of a good thing, right?
Yeah.
We then get into our classic intro, and then we're straight back to the porn, because why not?
And sounds like my teenage years, yeah.
Well, your teenage years would have been, you know, dial-up noises and hoping the picture downloads in time before mum sees it.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh no, you only got to the cleavage. Mum's home.
I always like there's a Simpsons episode where it's the comic book guy and he's like looking at naked pictures of Captain Janeway from Star Trek, and it's just slowly downloading. As it gets to the cleavage, like an advert pops up over it, and it's just like, yeah, like, you know, now you've got in front of you anything and everything you've ever thought about is probably on the internet. Like if you've ever been on Reddit, there are some weird people out there, and if you've ever thought it, someone else has probably already done it and put it on the internet.
Has its rules, and the one everyone knows is Rule 34. So
yeah, so why don't you explain Rule 34 for people who don't know that?
Essentially, the Rule 34 is if you thought of it, there's porn of it. Essentially, no matter what it is.
So
even if there definitely shouldn't be, there probably is.
Yeah, you type in a character, an actor, you know, a fictional person of. fictitious person, whatever, and put porn at the end, you'll probably find someone has drawn something. There's a lot of amazing artists out there that I guess get paid quite well to draw that stuff or enjoy drawing that as well.
A lot of people, I hope it's their profession and they're just doing that for whatever. Like, cause I can imagine being that talented at something, you know, I'm just going to use it for smut. Like, you know, they could be changing the art and making really great, you know, art, but no, they're just going, no, I'm just going to draw boobs.
Well, at the same time, the Greeks, you know, they used to have a lot of boobs and naked people and statues and stuff. It's no different, really.
I don't know. It seems a bit different. There's a marble statue in a grand square, and then there's some dude in a mum's basement with the shade drawn, drawing boobs on some hentai. Yeah, they don't hit the same all much.
Well, you say, guys, but in the artist community that I guess I'm a part of, there's a awful lot of women that draw erotica and draw boobs and naked men and all sorts. It's actually probably more women that draw this stuff than men, I've found in my experience.
You think that's because they're making their own, because the stuff that's made tends to be made for like the male gaze and appetite, and you know.
No, I think it's because generally the art they're drawing is pop culture stuff, so it'll be anime characters or stuff like that, and it's I think it's just things that they enjoy, and they enjoy drawing it, and they enjoy creating something out of these fandoms, and obviously they also do it because they get paid for it as well, and there's clearly an audience out there who wants this stuff.
No, fair enough. Power to him. Party on.
But back to the porn, and a hairy guy is being shaved while the girls eat breakfast, and the guys are slightly disgusted too. I don't know why you'd want to watch a guy being shaved, because this is like proper 80s stuff where people are just hairy.
Yeah, and it's almost like a weird like film grain filter on it. You can tell it's, you know, it's some vintage porn.
Well, Rachel wants to turn off the porn, and I kind of agree if that's what they're watching, but Chandler won't let her. No one is allowed to touch the remote or the TV. Imagine a protective porn bubble, if you will, which is a great line. And Monica has the bright idea to just mute it instead.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. And this is where we get another one of our...
I wrote it on the board!
And as Phoebe enters the room, we can see on the Magna Doodle, clean bathroom in all caps and underlined. So
I feel like Monica wrote that on when she visited.
Yeah, I was thinking who's done that. Like maybe Chandler would, because Joey's probably a little bit messy, but both the guys are messy. But yeah, this is Monica's, you know, apartment technically, and she hates mess. So she's probably really upset what the guys are doing to her old apartment.
True.
And then Phoebe is bringing up her massage table. She really shouldn't be lifting things whilst pregnant, especially something like that.
Yeah, she should not.
And at the girls' new apartment, it's looking prettier and brighter every day. I really like this, how every episode the apartments like grow and change a little bit more.
Yeah, it goes to, you know, it's not the space, it's what you do with it that counts.
It still doesn't work in my mind. Like their stuff always fits their apartment, doesn't fit the boys' apartment for whatever reason. And then Ross comes in and he's had to say goodbye to Emily. She's flown back to London and he's being miserable and puts on a horrible British accent. But thankfully, Monica stops him doing that.
You're going to see her again, right?
Well, that's the thing. I don't know. I mean, whenever I brought it up with her, she said, "This is so fantastic. Why do we have to talk about the future? Let's just enjoy..." No,
don't do the accent. You've got to see her again.
And why do you care so much?
Because you could get to live out my fantasy.
You've had fantasies about Emily?
No, you know, the fantasy. Meet someone from a strange land, fall madly in love, and spend the rest of your lives together.
So, this could have gone in the start of the episode, but I think this is kind of a good place to put it. There was an article recently where the Friends director reveals it was a struggle to work with not funny Helen Baxendale, but he had no time to recast her. David Schwimmer had no one to bounce off of.
I don't think she's unfunny. I think that's harsh.
Well, I think it is harsh as well. Like, I think she has her moments. I really hate the accent that she puts on. And Ross is doing the accent, clearly. Like, that's the accent I hate. But yeah, so it says here, like, James Burrows, who has directed more than 1,000 episodes of sitcoms, including, like, Cheers and Will and Grace, revealed that it was a struggle to work for because other actors couldn't feed off her comedic energy. And as a result, the attempted comedy was like clapping with one hand. It's weird it's coming out now, because at the time they were, you know, we've said this before, they were planning to keep her in for the whole time, and it was actually her that didn't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he directed Will and Grace and wants to talk about comedic ability, you know, those in glass houses and all that.
Because he's quoted as saying, she was nice but not particularly funny, and he recalled in his new memoir, directed by James Burrows, so there's a sneaky advert for him there, Swimmer had no one to bounce off, it was like clapping with one hand. In sitcoms and any type of romantic comedy, the funny is just as important as the chemistry. We discovered that any new girlfriend for Ross needed to be as funny as Rachel. Well, okay, that's pretty cool to hear, because we are big fans of Rachel being funny.
We are.
And often you can't recast because of tight shooting deadlines or other logistical considerations. You don't cast anyone to be a straw man unless it's for one episode. You need someone who gets laughs. Sometimes you start an arc and it ain't working out, so you have to get rid of that person. If it's a day player, it's a quick goodbye. The reverse is also true. If there's chemistry, the writers go to work to figure out some way of keeping the actor. And then speaking about her experiences on Friends previously, Cold Feet star Helen said of the cast, they were all very nice and professional. We were never great mates, though. People expect, because it's called Friends, that everyone was great friends, but they were real professionals. They've been doing it for years, and I was one of the guest stars to appear. I'm very proud and delighted to have been in such an amazing and successful international show. It's always a talking point, and it was a very clever setup. Even now, young people especially seem to love it. But I don't feel like part of my life. It doesn't feel like part of my life at all now. I look upon it as a strange, surreal little blip in my life, almost like a dream. I guess for her, she was only in it for a handful of episodes, and yeah, it's nice to be part of that. But it's not your life, and it's not what she's known for, really.
Yeah, I feel like that's a perfectly like respectable and well-measured response. Well, you know, she enjoyed her time on it, but it definitely wasn't the summit or pinnacle of her career, you know, at least as far as her being British was concerned, because she's obviously known as it referenced, a Cold Feet star. Like, that was her big show in the UK. I don't know. I think given the material she was given to work with, she wasn't exactly the punchline deliverer for the majority of her scenes. Like,
no.
She's pretty much just there so Ross can either fawn hopelessly and try and get her out of the apartment in the one with the fake, you know, the fake party. And then aside from the odd bit of romance with Ross, she's pretty much just the straight man in the show. And then she becomes like the evil battle axe once we get the, you know, I take the Rachel moment. But I don't think she's not particularly given much funny to work with.
No, not really. No, she's never going to have her funny Rachel moments, and especially like, you know, oh, it looks like she's going to do a skit. Like, the lines are not there for her, whether she's got her British accent going on or not. She can't be Rachel, because she never bounces off Ross in that way. And when she does become, like you say, the battle axe, she just becomes a horrible person. And it's not like Rachel, where there's a bit of back and forth and, you know, childishness there. She is just horrible in a lot of ways.
Like, as a character, I mean, even though it's massively outdated and wasn't intended to be used this way, you know, the Bechdel test would pretty much fail, because so many conversations tend to revolve around Ross, or talking to someone else about Ross or to Ross. Like, she's kind of just really a lamp when she's not directly involved with Ross. She doesn't really do much outside of that relationship in the show. It's not like we get to see her hang out with Monica and Rachel and Phoebe on a day trip, or, you know, they go shot. She doesn't really do much.
Yeah.
So I think it's unfair to say she's unfunny.
No. But, you know, there is the fantasy that Ross ponders for a moment of Rachel thinking of Emily.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more concerned with that Monica refers to Britain as a strange land. We're not a strange land.
I guess to a lot of Americans, we can do things a little bit different to them. And it can be seen as a bit quirky and weird and wonderful. And certainly some of our TV shows like Benny Hill and stuff like that don't help. And our humour.
We do it properly, they do it strangely.
Yeah, I like that way too.
Yeah, like who founded Witch Nation? Yeah, they diverted from the path.
But Monica is, you know, she's actually jealous of Ross because he gets to live out the fantasy, meeting a foreigner and having a beautiful romance. And yeah, that's kind of true. Like, you do want to meet someone who has a different culture to you and different interests and a bit of wonder. And, you know, traveling is always fun rather than just where you live.
Oh yeah, I've known people that have wanted to date, you know, their idea of the perfect partner is like, you know, the, for the most part, a carbon copy of themselves, but, you know, hot. And I'm just like, that'd be boring. Like, who wants to date? Like, if you want to date yourself, just, you know, stay single. Like,
yeah. It's just... look in the mirror, job done.
Yeah, no, like, some common interests are great, but one of the good things about, you know, friendships and relationships is discovering new things that you didn't know before. I think it's healthy to have time apart in a relationship. Like, you don't necessarily go, like, oh, we need to do everything together because we share the same interests. Like, you know, you both might like, I don't know, cricket, but you don't need to go to every single cricket game together. You know, you can go to the ODI one day and then let her go to the test with her mates or whatever.
Yeah, it's always good to have things to talk about and discuss. For me, time apart is a key part of a relationship. And, yeah. You know, and if you've got different cultures and different interests, even better. Like, there's way more depth you can go into with each other. Well, it turns out Emily is only going back home for 2 weeks and Ross is worried. Monica convinces Ross to go to the airport now and have that movie moment where he just catches her at the gate and they kiss and it's magical. And then they'll sneak into the cockpit and things will start to heat up. And it turns out she's been watching porn too much.
Yeah, so well done. It just escalates. She's just like, wait, what?
Like, you know, I guess, you know, there was a time, like, probably in like the 70s, 80s, maybe 90s, where porn was definitely story-based for whatever reason. Who knows why they decided that? And it's like, ah, the pool boy has come to clean, you know, and something happens. Or the pizza delivery man has come to do this. And there's all like a story there. And maybe it was made for women as well. And like, that's why there's a story involved rather than just getting straight to it. Whereas now, I don't think stories are quite that involved, are they?
I don't know.
Yeah, are you sure?
I just skip the first like 5 minutes. I don't care. Just get to the good stuff.
Just get to the last 30 seconds. You're done.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love how she just kind of like it's just seeped into her mind of what's going to happen. And you know, even now, that movie magic moment will never ever happen because you can't run to the gate anymore. You'd have to buy a ticket to get through security, and that security might take an hour to get through. Like, it's,
my girlfriend doesn't even come to the airport with me when I fly home. Stays on the sofa. That's a coffee. I'm like, oh, see you later, love. And then
true love, no right there.
Well, there isn't a point, is there? Like, I'll take her to the airport normally because I'm a big soppy sod. But it is just like, okay, you are now going to security. Bye. And then there's just like an awkward 2.5 hours where, you know, I'm sat back at home and she's just sat waiting for the gate to open. Like, not the same as it used to be.
No, I think that's fair. Because if you could wait till they were getting on the plane, it's the same as them getting on a train or coach. Like, that's nice, and you can maybe see them out the window. But when it's like, you're going behind the protective barriers where no one can, like, see if you're there again. Yeah. It's not the same. But I do want to spoil it for you, Ryan. It is sweet when someone does go to the airport to meet you or pick you up.
I wouldn't know.
Well... we're at the baby clinic with Phoebe and Rachel, and she's having her ultrasound done, and the sonographer wants to discuss the potential for multiple babies.
Multiple babies.
She can hear and see 3 separate heartbeats. Phoebe thinks it's going to be like a log ride when she gives birth. So yeah, that is quite an image, you know, being like a log ride. Let's move on from there. We're at Central Perk, and Alice and Frank are excited to hear how it went. And Phoebe tries to tell them in a weird roundabout way that they're going to have 3 babies. Frank finally is going to have his band. You know, they're pretty excited until Phoebe ruins the mood by talking about all the downsides of 3 kids. Frank is going to have to quit his college to get a job. And, you know, at least he thought he was going to have kids that he should actually, like, get an education, which I think is good of him. Like, he's really grown up over, you know, the past season or so.
Yeah, it's in a very adult response, I guess, for Frank Jr. to have, because he's not exactly high on the maturity charts, you know, initially, is he?
No. And, you know, Phoebe talking like, don't ruin the mood. Like, having 3 kids is, you know, going to be tougher than having 1. But at the same time, you'll just do the same thing 3 times and you'll figure it out. So she shouldn't have done that. She should have kept the joy of, like, 3 kids. And in some ways, it's probably better to get, like, 3 kids out of the way in one go rather than trying to do them one after the other.
I suppose if you think about it, it gives you all the expense in one go instead of having it repeated. Because obviously if you have 1 child and then that child grows up to say 6 or 7, then you have another child, you probably haven't kept half the stuff you had the first time and you've got to do it all again. Whereas at least you do all in one go. Once you get rid of it all, you can sell it, pocket the cash, you know, from like the baby grows and whatever in the equipment, and then go, right, that's done now, we sorted.
Also, you don't need to have you know, free of everything. There'll be some things, like maybe a changing mat, you might want two, but you wouldn't need three changing mats just in case, or three bouncers. They could be like one bouncer and they can just take turns, and they can have one, the others can do something else and whatnot.
Yeah, and you just buy essentially a wardrobe of outfits and then have the match. You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, you're wearing blue today, you're wearing green, you're wearing red. Like, job done.
Well, we're now at the airport, and this is strange pre-9/11 airport where anyone could go to the gate. And Ross manages to catch up to Emily, who's holding one of those huge Toblerone bars you can only buy at airports. Do you have any thoughts about Toblerone bars, Ryan?
I only like Toblerone white.
Oh, okay. Did you know that in the logo of Toblerone, there is an image inside it?
There's a bear.
There is a bear, yes. And Toblerones don't look the same as they used to. They used to be like big triangles, like right next to each other. And they would really hurt your teeth if you tried to break them off if they'd been in the fridge or whatever. And now they have these like massive gaps between them to try and keep it the bar as long as it used to be.
Yeah, it's just disgraceful. There's a TV show in the UK called 8 out of 10 Cats and a TV show called Countdown. And at some point, for some reason, they like merged the two shows. And it was a 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. And there's a Scottish comedian called Kevin Bridges who goes on the show. Traditionally, when you go on the show, you would take like a mascot or a gift or something, you know, that you'd have like an entertaining story about. And Kevin Bridges wanted to take Toblerone, and the legal team couldn't get Toblerone to clear it in time because they thought they'd disrespect the brand. So he just told this story and then looks at the camera and then says, F you, Toblerone, which was probably one of the best moments of British TV in recent memory. It was so funny. It was like, this backfired on Toblerone massively. So now when you say Toblerone, I just think of Kevin Bridges.
Because when you go to the airport, I do look at the big bags of chocolate that only exist at the airport. Well, in British airports. If you ever go to an American airport, American airports are really strange. So America, the land of, like, you know, money and commercialism, you go to the airports and there's like one tiny rubbish news agents and that's it in the whole huge airport. And there's nothing to do for hours apart from sit in a quiet, empty area. Whereas you go to the British ones and as soon as you're through the security, you're in like a shopping mall wonderland where you've got all your perfume and your sunglasses and you can buy a drone and, you know, £1,000 laptop because you forgot to buy one when you was on holiday. And, you know, clothing, like you can buy your beachwear because you didn't bring any clothes to pack and stuff like that. And, you know, they're absolutely amazing. They are expensive. Yeah. And it is like...
insane amount of booze.
Yeah. You know...
I mean, Birmingham Airport's not even a particularly large airport. And you get out of security, you go through duty-free for limits, you know, booze and glasses and, you know, travel accessories and all that kind of stuff. And then I think there are three coffee shops, maybe... a pub, two bars, a bookshop. Like, there's an insane amount of stuff in there. Like, you could spend the whole day at the airport quite happily and, you know, not really care that you're waiting for a flight.
Yeah, I really like British airports. American ones, yeah, you need to up your game. Like, you could be making some serious money there. But, you know, you look at the weird large chocolate bars and stuff, and the price is probably a little bit too high. It's about £10 for some of this stuff. And you're like, maybe. But I'm always tempted.
I was tempted last time I flew to the Netherlands. They had like these giant bags of Maltesers that I'd never seen before. And it was like £2 for £15. And I was like, what? £7.50 each for Maltesers. But because the bags were gigantic, I got really excited about the idea of buying some. Luckily for me, it was like 5:45 in the morning. So I had zero appetite for chocolate. But if that had been like late afternoon, I probably would have caved and bought them.
But £50 worth, right?
Yeah, I mean, everyone likes a Malteser.
Well, Ross tells Emily he has feelings, and then Emily gives Ross her Toblerone. But before she gets on the plane, he just has to come out and say it.
Listen, I have to tell you something. I've been thinking. I'm just going to come out and say it, okay? I think I love you.
Thank you.
So yeah, Ross loves her, and that's when Emily does what every single man wants to hear. Thank you. I feel really sorry for Ross right now.
Yeah, it's... I get what I mean. if someone doesn't love you, I guess they don't really have much of a choice. I mean, thank you is better than I don't love you.
Yes.
I mean, you'd probably just assume they don't, given that they said, you know, thank you. But yeah, it's a bit of a punch in the gut, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, using the word love is difficult because you can love someone and say I love you without like there being any deep meaning to it. You know, I can go to say it to you, Ryan, and be like, Ryan, I love you, like, but it doesn't mean I'm in love with you. But
yeah,
but in these sorts of situations, if you do say it in that way, it will be taken the wrong way. Like if she went, oh, I love you too, Ross would immediately be like, she's in love with me, let's get married. And it would all unravel, you know, a couple episodes quicker, I think.
It's a very daunting situation for someone to express their feelings to you. Like, you're about to get on the plane, you know, you think you're not going to see this person again.
Well, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. And then they, you know, they just suddenly appear out of nowhere and tell you they love you. It can be a lot to hear. Like, oh my God, like, okay. Like, it may just be overwhelming and you not know what to say.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what you say if someone says I love you and you don't. I guess you can say, you know, I care for you. Is probably like a good one to come back with to show, like, you know, thank you, but I'm not ready to say those words, but I still care about you.
I think I would either prefer thank you or I don't love you. I would either want to be like ripping up a plaster and just be like, give me the pain now, it's fine. Or just be polite, because if they said, oh, I also care for you, I'd be like, well, that's not the same. I'd just be more annoyed. Well, or not annoyed, just upset, I guess.
You're a big Star Wars fan. And doesn't Princess Leia say to Han Solo, like, I love you? And he says, I know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's happened twice when I've said I love you to a girl and they've said I know. But this has been like in the middle of a relationship. And every time I was like, oh, yes, they Star Wars'd me. And it was always, you know, a fun moment.
They Star Wars'd me. Well, okay. Well, I bet you had a fun night that night, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. My Tauntaun froze before it reached the first marker.
Yes. Well, we're back at the new guy's apartment and Rachel is singing some kind of song. It's so familiar, but what's it from?
Bow chicka bow wow. Bow chicka bow wow. What is that song that's been in my head all day?
It's the theme from Goodwill Humping.
You know who doesn't even like dirty movies? My new boyfriend Joshua.
Yeah, right.
No, he told me he prefers to leave certain things to the imagination.
Oh, yeah. And did he also say that he thought that some of the dialogue was corny and that he actually found it funny, not sexy?
Yes.
Yeah, he likes porn.
Where are you going? We're going to find out if he really thinks supermodels are too skinny.
So, yeah. Bow chicka wow wow. If you said to anyone to do like a porn like soundtrack, I don't know why it's that one, but it is that one.
Always, yep. Some weird kind of wah guitar effect, which is annoying because I love wah pedals.
But you know, this is the theme from Goodwill Humping and every other generic porn on TV soundtrack. I love like the silly names that they come up with in this episode as well as in real life. There's some real good comedy gold right there.
Parody porn names are, you know, crudely hilarious, and at least they're trying. Like, you know, when you watch like Shaving Ryan's Privates and, you know, all of the different fun ones you can compare, like it's funny even if you're not going to watch the movie. But then you got some of the just like, you know, I don't know, Big Boobs Tube, and it's just like, well, that's not very eventful marketing, is it? Like,
I mean, if you're in the shop and you're looking for something, like maybe just the obvious title is the way forward, because, you know, Goodwill Humping, you might be like, well, I've not seen Goodwill Hunting, so I'm not going to get the references here.
You're sat there being like, how do you like damn apples? And you're not getting references. Maybe you'd rent both. Maybe you would just go like, okay, I've not seen, you know, I don't know, like if it's like Titanic, you'd be like, well, I've not seen Titanic, so I'll rent both, and then at least I'll get what's going on.
Do you reckon anyone goes and looks up a film and it's like, Big Boob 6, oh, I can't watch that one, I've not seen the fifth.
I mean, you wouldn't know what you're missing out on, would you? Like, there could be some continuity that you're missing out on and you just won't experience the film properly, so you better get the box set.
Well, the DVD set or the download now, I guess.
Yeah.
But do you know, Ryan, who doesn't like porn? Joshua, apparently.
Joshua. Yeah.
Like, honestly, Rachel, seriously, even to men out there, if a woman says that she doesn't like porn, she probably does. Everyone does. Like, yeah, some people don't. Some people have different interests or whatever. But anyone who says they don't do certain things is probably lying.
I mean, I guess the sentence, like, you know, do you like porn? It's like, it's not like you sit down and watch 7 hours of it a night. It's not like binging a box set on BritBox or Netflix. But, you know, you can have problems with certain types of porn. But the odds of there not being some kind of, you know, adult entertainment that you don't at least find titillating, it's got to be like zero, especially in the modern age with the internet.
Now, you say that, Ryan, but I think we both, and I think probably most of our listeners, have been on a train or a bus or somewhere and seen probably a guy just watching porn in public in those places. And you're just like, why? Like, are you watching it for the storyline? Because it doesn't look like there's much storyline going on in what I'm seeing. And also, you're in public and you can't do anything with it. Like, why are you watching it?
I saw a prank video go viral a couple of years ago in Britain when like the dad and lads were going on a holiday, and the lads were, you know, like late teens, early 20s, and the dad was probably in his 50s. And they'd put a Bluetooth speaker into his suitcase and turned it on, and they synced their phone to it, and then just started playing porn full blast through the speaker. So this dad's suitcase was just making, you know, porn noises of a lady very much enjoying herself. And the dad's just like, oh my God, what the hell? What's going on? It was so funny.
But yeah, the guys have totally got his number on this one. Like, you know, as I said, let's be honest. Everyone lies when it comes to saying they don't like certain bedroom stuff. And I really like how Rachel has to leave to chat to Josh. She needs to find out if he really thinks supermodels are too skinny as well.
Yeah, it's so much like, are they too skinny? Like, just why lie? Just, you know,
I understand, because a woman like Rachel, I feel like if he was like, yeah, I'm into lots of porn, you're basically the guy that Phoebe sets her up on a date with who does a lot of weed. And I don't think she's going to find that attractive, you saying that. So you probably are going to be like, no, like, supermodels are too skinny. Like, I want someone who's natural looking. And, you know, I don't look at naked women. Like, that's gross and disgusting. I only want you. Like, I kind of get where he's going with this.
I think it's lame, but I mean, well, I guess this is going to sound awful, but if I thought like Rachel wouldn't sleep with me if I said I liked porn, I would totally lie about liking porn.
Well, we've got another, I put it on the board, so let's get that set up.
I wrote it on the board!
Knock, knock. Who's there? Porn. I quite like it as a joke. I feel that's a joke. That's probably a Chandler, actually, who's put that one on there.
Yeah, I mean, the porn is definitely there.
Yeah. And now Phoebe arrives and she tells them the news about her three babies. She needs to make some quick money. How about some insider trading?
Yeah, it works for some people.
It does, and it doesn't for others. Like, the guy who created Sonic the Hedgehog recently got done for insider trading.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yuji Naka. He's the guy who creates Sonic. He's extremely wealthy, I assume. And yeah, recently got done for some insider trading to the tune of quite a bit of money. And I think the actual money he made out of it actually wasn't worth the time in prison or the fines or anything. Yeah, insider trading, that's a good way to make money if you have those insider trades.
I'm not entirely sure why it's against the rules, because it basically sounds like the system not wanting you to be successful. Because I'm like, well, if I know more information because of my position, then surely I should be allowed to benefit from that.
Like, no, well, the way it is to keep everything even and fair, because let's say you worked at Google and you work inside the company and you know that Google is about to do something that's going to change the world. So you buy tons of shares. Or you potentially know that you can sell tons of shares because there's some bad news coming out. That means you have an advantage, yes, but it screws over everyone else who doesn't work at Google. So that's why it's unfair. And also you get market manipulation. Like Elon Musk has done this, where on Twitter, you know, he's like, everyone buy this stock. And then the stock goes up. And when it goes up, he then sells it and he comes out with a fortune. And that's why it's unfair. It's not to stop you having an advantage. It's stop everyone else having a disadvantage.
Sounds like corruption to me. Sounds like the 1% wanting to stay the 1%.
Well, no, because they would want to have it in, because then they could keep their money. But yeah, there is all sorts of stuff around it as well. Like, it's not foolproof, I guess. Ross then arrives looking very grumpy. Monica is super excited to see how Emily reacted, and Ross said, "I love you," and Emily said, "Thank you." Now he doesn't know what to do. And this is where Joey suggests playing hard to get. Chandler thinks it over because Ross said the L word. But Monica is more positive. She thinks Emily will call and say she loves him. She just couldn't say it in public there and then. And then she forces Ross to leave to sit by the phone to wait for that call.
I like how Monica just doubles down on the fantasy. Like, it's clearly not gone well. And she's like, no. We'll just go to plot two. Plot of the rom-com plot two is this. And then she just keeps committed.
Like, I like the way she's got hope. But in this instance, I think Joey is the worst off as well. Like, you know, playing hard to get is not a great thing. And, you know, Chandler, you know, thinks that you should just kind of, you know, leave it.
Well, the problem with playing hard to get is you've got to assume that the person you're playing hard to get to doesn't have enough pride to just stop.
No.
You know, like, that's always the problem. You play hard to get, they might not try.
Well, we're at the girl's new apartment, and the boys want to watch cartoons because they spent the last 2 hours watching porn. So we did say earlier, Ryan, that I thought it was weird that you was watching porn with your friends on the phone. But here's the boys doing just that. And I've always thought it's weird of you know, friends, especially like if they're male friends, or if they are female friends, you know, just sitting there with porn on, just watching it. I don't know.
I remember being like 15, 16, and we snuck to a DVD retailer in town, and we bought an adult movie that had some kind of strange vampire horror theme. And
was it Buffet the Vampire Lair?
It wasn't Buffet the Vampire Lair, unfortunately. But we put it on, and there's like three of us sat there watching it, and then we kept laughing because whoever was in charge of continuity on this movie did a really bad job, because one of the devil lesbians, her horns kept disappearing, and we just kept finding it really funny. It'd be like, close up, she's got horns, like, and then, like, you know, two shot, doesn't, and we just go, she's lost the horn, and then that just became the catchphrase for the entire movie, and we just found the thing hilarious. And yeah,
I like the way you was watching the porn movie and you were so engrossed at the costume that it took over.
Well, it wasn't a particularly, you know, sexually stimulating entertainment, because, you know, like, yeah, there's, you know, naked people on the television, but there's also my two, you know, unattractive friends sat next to me. It wasn't kind of dampening the mood somewhat.
Yes, definitely, right. Phoebe,
my friends are unattractive. I'm just picking on them for fun.
Phoebe then arrives, and she's got a little black case with her, and she gives us the sales pitch of how she can cut a metal can with a steak knife. And this is like one of those multi-level marketing things, and she's not going to make any money doing that.
I mean, I always appreciate a good knife.
But just the way she does it is like, you know, oh, it slices, it dices, but wait, there's more.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd randomly buy a set of knives from someone knocking my door, though.
No. And Phoebe, yeah, if someone came up to you at the door and got a knife out, you're probably not going to stick around too long.
And where I live, that's probably just you getting mugged.
Yeah. But yeah, she's not going to make her money, especially if she's probably spent a fortune on all these knives already.
Mm-hmm.
We're then at Ross's, and Emily finally calls. She had a terrible flight because of what Ross said, but she has to tell Ross something. There's someone else. Ouch.
Ouch. Like, yeah, now it's got worse.
Yeah, like, that's, I don't know if men do this that often, where they're like, hey, there's someone else, I'm confused, I don't know who to choose or whatever. It seems to be a lot more women, like, in TV at least, or, you know, certainly in my life I've had that experience once before, at least once. And it is a horrible thing where they're like, I don't know who to choose, and you're like, stop being greedy, pick me.
Yeah, I mean, it might sound quite stereotypical, but I feel like men are more straightforward, so men would just look at the situation, and, you know, we don't necessarily need to make lists. We'd just be like, if there are two people that are interested, you'd be like, I know which one. You'd know which one you want immediately. Like,
Or like, you're just like, I'm not going to tell anyone, and I will have two dates.
Yeah, like, I will keep both, or I want that one. Whereas, I suppose, you know, it might be slightly more complex to the female mind. Who knows?
So we're now at the boys' new apartment, and Ross says Emily doesn't know who she wants, Ross or this Colin guy. But Monica, always glass half full, thinks this is the perfect movie romance and she will pick Ross. Now she has a new idea. Ross has to go to London. Thankfully, Joey is there with some sane advice. That is quite an intense thing to do. And I think, you know, people love the idea of movie love, but if anything like that ever happens, most people think it's way too much. Like, if he does, if this was real life and he went to London, Emily probably wouldn't be overjoyed that he did that and be like, oh my God, that is like the movie romance. You're amazing. She'd probably be a bit creeped out that he spent a fortune and, you know, a flight to track her down and find her and see her.
Yeah, especially real life, modern day, and it's so much more cynical and disposable than, I guess, you know, it used to be. People would definitely be like, oh my God, Ryan, that's so weird. Why have you done that? That's intense and creepy. Why? Like, and just, yeah, you wouldn't get taken the same way as it does in movies, that's for sure.
Which is such a shame, because there are genuine moments in, like, everyone's lives where they do reach out and do something like that, and people go, oh, that's too intense and creepy. And you're like, no, actually, that what they did, it was really amazing. And you didn't actually realize that what they did was quite that nice for whatever reason. And maybe it's that whole, you know, treat them mean, keep them keen sort of thing, where people don't really want you to be like overly nice to them for whatever.
I mean, I think it's about level of gesture, I guess. I think that, you know, real, you know, romance or real love is kind of understated and patient and, you know, just there. Not in like a, you know, a using kind of way, just someone cares about you and wants to demonstrate it. The best way to do that is to be consistent and, you know, around. Whereas one giant grand gesture, you know, like, you can't have an entire relationship built on grand gestures, because eventually you're going to run out of them.
Yes. Well, Monica convinces Ross, though. Remember how he didn't fight for Rachel when she was with Paolo? He needs to go and fight for her, and also pick up one of those giant Toblerone bars for Joey.
I love how just Joey's obsessed with these. And they managed to keep this through line going for the entire episode, which is great.
Yeah, I like what's coming up where he just like stares at it, like drooling with his eyes like coming out of his sockets. Just
it's a great facial expression, to be fair, isn't it? He's just like, love it.
At the girl's new apartment, Phoebe has a plan to make money. She's going to open up her own massage place. She's going to call it Relaxy Taxi, a taxi where you get massages. Or, you know, as Rachel is saying, relaxicab. I don't know, which one do you prefer?
Relaxicab.
I like relaxicab.
I think initially relaxataxi sounds better, because you're like, oh, relaxitaxi. And, you know, it flows less, but then, like, relaxicab, taxicab, it is a better play on words.
Yes. I think Rachel probably does win a little bit there. The phone rings, and it's Ross. He's in a British Red phone booth, which, you know, they still kind of exist in London, but most, like, I found out recently, I think it's New York, doesn't have phone booths anywhere anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, so if you are without your mobile phone for whatever reason, you are going to have difficulty finding a phone now to use. And even in London, the phone booths still exist. Most of the time, they don't even have phones in them now. They're just there for, like, the touristiness of them. I think, thankfully, there are still quite a lot of public payphones, but obviously, they don't get used anymore. No one needs a payphone unless your phone breaks or you want to phone someone from an anonymous number or something.
Most of the ones in Birmingham have been replaced with defibrillator, like, posts.
Yes.
They've just reused the box and put a defibrillator in there instead.
And a big advert on the back of it as well.
Yeah.
So Ross is in Britain because he's in the British Red phone booth. That's how you signify you're in London.
And it's raining too.
Yeah, it is raining too. And he's outside Emily's and she's not home. Clearly she's at this Colin guy's house. And that's kind of heartbreaking, because even if she isn't, you're still thinking that she might be.
Yeah. Your brain would assume the worst, wouldn't you?
And Monica suggests to stay for a few more hours and then come home. He's just flown for 6 to 8 hours to UK. At least stay a few days and enjoy the sights, is what I'm thinking. Like, there's no point getting the next flight back because it's expensive. Might as well just enjoy London for a bit, wander around, maybe see her in the morning. Hopefully you can chat to her at some point.
Oh, totally. Like, given what a giant, you know, nerd and geek Ross is, and he's in London, like, go to the British Museum, go to the, like, He works at the New York Museum. He could easily just stroll into place and go, "Oh, hi, I'm Dr. Geller of the New York Museum. Can I take a peek?" Like, you would totally get some, like, backstage badass access to British museums if you, know, happened to work at one in the States and just got chatting to people. I would immediately be trying to take advantage of that if I was Ross. Forget Emily. I'm going to go look some dinosaurs.
Next time we go to London, Ryan, we should do that. We should go up there and go, "Hi there, I'm Ross Geller from the New York Science Museum or Natural History Museum."
All right, we'll try it.
And see how far we get. But we're back again at the boys' new apartment, and there is a knock on the door. It's Emily, and she's got another huge, uneaten Toblerone. And everyone is shocked. But none more so than Joey, who just needs that chocolate. Why does she keep buying Toblerones? Who's she buying them for? Is it for her?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a tradition. Maybe it's like a 90s British tradition. You know, like nowadays, you have a pint and a fry before you fly, no matter what time of the day it is. And back then, you bought Toblerones.
But yeah, you're saying that you love this.
Yeah, I'm a big sappy romantic dork, so I would probably be the moniker in this situation. So when the door opens and reveals Emily, I'm very much like, and you know, I'm very much, you know, excited and happy and loving the whole romancy vibe of everything. So yeah, I think this bit's great.
Well, Emily was going to call Ross, but she came to tell Ross she loved him. Well, maybe she wasn't sure yet, but she does need to talk to him. Well, you know, he's pretty cold and miserable on the doorstep of Emily's apartment. And then Emily calls and leaves a message on her answering machine. And Ross hears it through the wall, what she has to say. And we're going to hear that now.
Hey, I'm in the States with your sister and your friends. And it's all over with Colin. I came here to tell you that and to tell you... What? Yes, Joey, you can have all the chocolate you want. Just take it. I came here... to tell you that I love you.
I love you too. I'm gonna call you right now from the phone booth. You can't hear me.
I wish I could know if you'd heard any of that. I suppose I've just either told you that I love you or I've given my neighbours a good laugh. Mrs. Newman, if you're listening, bugger off. This is none of your business. I suppose there's not much chance you did hear that, and there's the call waiting, so I should go. Oh, well. Hello?
Hi.
Ross, I love you. Oh.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's all over with Colin, and she loves Ross. And he goes to call her back, and Emily loves him, and he says thank you. Which is a nice, great callback, I think.
It is. I just like that, but you know, both of them, you know, had the same idea of, I need to fly halfway across the world to tell this person how I feel. It's very sweet, and I'm very much here for it.
Yeah, I wish I could afford to do that. I feel like flights back then were... way cheaper, but probably just as expensive when looking at inflation.
I mean, we don't know what Emily does, but based on where she lives, I'd probably say she's quite well off.
Yes, I think we agree with that.
We know Ross is well paid, so yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a fun thing to do. At the same time, you know, this is TV magic where, you know, she's just magically back there again when actually she you know, she's had like an 8-hour long flight at least. Plus security and everything else going on. Like it's not an easy thing to just do. It's very time consuming.
Also, I mean, maybe I'm giving Emily too much credit here, but I feel like maybe Emily flew home, went to see Colin, told Colin it was done, and then came back to see Ross. Like she didn't want to, you know, she couldn't feel like she couldn't commit to Ross while Colin was still hanging in the balance. But, you know, in my head canon at least, you know, Emily got off the plane, went home, told Colin it was over, went back to the airport, flew back. And, you know, she was doing the right thing. She's been a good person.
Yeah, I like that, Ryan. I think we should leave it on that note because we're about to get into the after credits. The boys are a little confused.
Hey.
Hey.
I was just at the bank, and there was this really hot teller, and she didn't ask me to go do it with her in the vault.
Same kind of thing happened to me. Woman pizza delivery guy comes over. Gives me the pizza, takes the money, and leaves.
What, no, like, nice apartment, bet the bedrooms are huge?
Nothing!
You know what? We have to turn off the porn.
I think you're right.
All right, ready?
One,
two,
three. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's kind of a relief.
Yeah.
You want to see if we still have it?
Yeah.
Free daddy, we have a free coin!
Yeah, good for the guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do like her. They're just like, wait a minute, the world isn't like porn. Like, it's affecting them that deeply.
Well, it affected Monica that deeply, I think. So, yeah, like, Chandler, you know, he went to the bank and the teller didn't ask him to do it with her in the vault. I really like how Joey agrees and says, the woman pizza delivery guy. Yeah. That's a great phrase. You know, did say, nice apartment, the bedrooms are huge. But
great dialogue.
But at the same time, like, there's been many TV shows now where porn has affected, like, our society. And certainly, like, younger people, like, in the, you know, when they're at that age where they're still, you know, trying to understand themselves or whatever, and seeing some of the stuff that's on the internet and thinking that's the way you do it. And it's like, no, like, gross and disgusting. And no one likes that. And I don't know why it's that way.
Yeah, there was an interesting Channel 4 documentary where they went into a school and asked, like, 15-year-olds, essentially, like, they split the boys and girls up and were like, oh, you know, tell us what you think, like, you know, ordinary sex is. And the boys had, like, these really graphic, like, hardcore descriptions of acts and things. And then they asked the girls the questions, and the girls are like, oh, you know, when you love each other and blah, blah, blah. And they had, like, a very kind of romantic and, like, I guess, more sensual description of it. And then they told the girls what the boys had said, and the girls were horrified. And we're just like, what the hell? I went. So it clearly does have an impact on people.
You know, this is men still. You know, because you know, as those boys and girls grow up, there definitely are going to be women who are going to be horrified at what some of these men are going to try to do and, you know, ruin it for everyone else because they've been taught the wrong way.
You know, I don't think it's porn per se. I think it's, you know, the type of porn, the way it's depicted and the way it's made, yes, who it's made for. But yeah, that's definitely a continuing problem, I guess, in modern society.
But yeah, so the guys are free porn forever now, it seems. And you know, this is kind of a weird and interesting episode because the title focus is on the guys, but we don't really go back to the porn that much. There's only like three very small scenes, I kind of feel like. And we have quite a bit of Ross and Emily, and then a tiny little bit of Phoebe's as well, with her little plot line. So I think it's a very funny episode. I still kind of cringe over the Ross and Emily stuff just because I really do not like her, and I can't get on with their romance. There's nothing about it that I find joyful. You look at the other people that the other characters date, and there's always like a glimmer of some fun or excitement there, but Ross and Emily just feels really stilted and weird and forced. I'm assuming it feels forced because they're trying to upset Rachel in terms of like the writers, but yeah, I just don't get on with their romance at all.
I mean, I like it, but episode wise yeah, it's a weird one in the sense that, you know, it's like 25% Ross and Emily, you know, 25% porn, and then the other characters like Rachel and Phoebe don't really do much. There's like 50% just kind of meh, like it just flows. It's not a bad episode, but it is somewhat uneventful, really.
I do think it's a memorable episode just because of the title alone. And I think...
Oh yeah, there's lots of great lines and jokes and delivery and good moments, and it's a very good episode. Yeah. It's just, you know, if you were to, like, you know, summarize the plot, you'd be like, boys get free porn, Ross and Emily said they love each other, Phoebe and Rachel are also there.
Well, I always have this when I have to write the little show notes for our podcast, you know, the little description underneath. And it's almost like like the TV Times where you're just like, Ross goes to the barbers and Chandler gets a new cat. And you're like, oh, that sounds really dull, but actually the episode was really good, sort of thing. And yeah, you can boil it down to sound really dull and uneventful, but I think what makes this a good episode in my mind is just the jokes and the humour. It is all, as I've said before in previous episodes, the best episodes that have the best humour are the ones where they're just kind of like riffing off of each other and just what's going on in their lives rather than any kind of grand set piece or anything like that going on.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of more mundane the scenario, the better the episode gets.
Yes, definitely. Well, with that, I think we've reached the end of another Watching Friends episode. And if you want to write to us, and we would love to hear from you because we love reading out our letters that we get, you can contact us at contact@watchingfriends.com, or there is a contact form on the website. You can find us on Twitter and or X or whatever it's called now, and Facebook at Watch Friends Pod. And you can also support us on our Patreon, chuck us a couple of quid, keep the lights on here, show your support for us, and get bonus content. And that's at patreon.com/watchingfriends. So we try every month to add a new episode of Joey there. And we've started experimenting, and I think we're going to release this month another smaller episode where we basically, the idea is we take a Facebook post from one of the friends groups that just is weird, and we just talk about it for 20 minutes. Our first one, we actually found a BuzzFeed article where they went through like 20 terrible friends faults or whatever, and we just discussed those for a little bit. And so, yeah, you can get some free you can get some extra content, and you can help support us.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it. I mean, and again, if you've got ideas for content you'd like us to do as a patron, just let us know. And if it sounds fun to us too, we'll get on that as well.
But thank you again for checking us out and listening to us. Make sure you subscribe. We'll be back hopefully next week, if not a week later. Thank you for sticking with us. You know, that's it from me for now. Goodbye.
GBL.